We're going to begin this second lesson in our series today in Colossians, a series I'm just calling Living the Dream. I want you to understand, as we talk about this and as we laid the foundation last week, that we're not talking about living the American dream, whatever that might be today. There was an idea that a lot of people had, they wanted to live the American dream. And I think that used to mean, you know, you'd have a house and picket fence around it, you know, maybe in a car in the garage, and, you know, 2.3 kids and a decent job. I don't know what the American dream used to be. But we're not talking about that. We're not talking about even any dream that might have its birthing or its origin in the heart of man. But the dream that God has in his heart for his people. I want you to open your Bibles to Colossians, actually chapter 1 first. We're going to highlight just a couple of verses at the end of that as we then move into chapter 2. In the latter part of chapter 1, Paul closes out his comments there by emphasizing the superiority or the supremacy of Christ. Some would call it his Christology, his concept, his idea about who Jesus was. But his idea wasn't based, again, upon some human reasoning. It was based upon the inspiration, the revelation, the wisdom that God gave him. He understood that Christ was the creator and control of the universe. He understood that Christ was the head of the church. And he stresses to them in that chapter that he had taught them those truths with all wisdom. Interesting, again, he taught them those things with all wisdom, so they could one day be presented to God as perfect. Then he opens chapter 2 by telling them that he wants them to have the full riches of complete understanding. He wants them to have this understanding, this wisdom again, so that they'll be free from rules and regulations, and so they can live in Christ, rooted and established in him. Strengthened in faith, again, as he says, as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. I think we may be seeing a pattern here. Matter of fact, I would encourage you to go through the book of Colossians, read through the whole thing. It's not a very big book. And just underline or emphasize, highlight, take notes of every time you read something about understanding, wisdom, about grasping this knowledge. You're going to find it throughout. So I see a correlation here between divine knowledge, between revelation from God, from wisdom from God, and the ability to live as God wants us to live. There was a correlation between them having this understanding, this wisdom, this knowledge, this revelation from God that would equip them, give them ability to live the way God wanted them to. Living the dream requires spiritual insight. I thought it was interesting, and I said to, I think, Annette last night, as she told me that she was choosing this song that we sang before communion, Knowing You. I believe that perhaps became one of my all-time favorite songs at the first Promise Keepers I ever attended. That may have been the first time I'd ever heard it, to be honest with you. But again, I was just so moved by that song, by the lyric, not just the music, but the lyric, the message of that song. There is no greater thing, no better thing than to know Jesus. No greater thing, knowing him. He's the all, he's the best. That's what Paul is telling them. And that's what he's telling us. No greater thing than knowing him. And then, Craig, in your communion meditation, if we get that, if we get hold of that, oh, what peace and contentment and joy and power we would be able to tap into. We could just get that. Living the dream that God has for us depends upon us knowing Jesus. Depends upon us knowing Jesus, having this intimate relationship with him. Now, with that in mind, I want you to pay close attention to chapter 2, verses 9 through 15. We're going to look at that as Paul begins to make a little bit of a transition about who Christ is and then who we are in him. He says in verse 9, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you've been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority." He says, In him. In who? Well, in Christ you were also circumcised in the putting off of the flesh, the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. And then he says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. And he took it away, nailing it to the cross. And then he says, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Paul, right off the bat here in verse 9, he is definitely affirming something. That Jesus was God in human form. All the fullness of God, all the fullness of deity, and that's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All the fullness of God in bodily form in Christ. He echoes that idea in Philippians 2 when he tells us that though Jesus was in the very nature God, he took on human form. He became as a man, took the form of a servant, humbled himself even to the point of death. John the Apostle insists upon it in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, when he says, you know, Jesus is that Word that was with God and was God and became flesh, lived among us. In Christ, all the fullness of God dwelt. All of it. That's an astounding thing to think. And you know, it's something that baffled the people of his day. They just couldn't understand. They couldn't comprehend how God, infinite God, all-powerful God, sinless God, loving God, could inhabit flesh. And it's something that people in the world wrestle with. It's something that even people of faith wrestled with without wisdom and knowledge and understanding and inspiration and revelation from above to really get hold of that truth and understand it. Astounding thing that all the fullness of God in Jesus in bodily form. But it's interesting to me, he says something that I also think is very astounding, maybe even more astounding. Because he uses the same Greek root word in his next phrase. When he says the Colossians had been given fullness in Christ. Pardon me? All the fullness of the deity in Jesus in bodily form. And he said, you have been given fullness in Christ. Pardon me? Is he saying that they had become gods? No. But he was saying that they could be filled with all the godliness that they needed to live the way that they were meant to. That they would be equipped with everything that God could give them that they needed to live like God's people, God's children, to live the dream. The New Living Translation and the New American Standard Version translate verse 10 this way. It says, so you also are complete through your union with Christ. Okay? The Amplified Bible says, and you are in him, made full, and having come to fullness of life, in Christ you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. The Message renders verse 9 and 10 like this. Everything of God gets expressed in Jesus. So you can see and hear him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without him. When you come to him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything. No matter how you slice it, no matter which translation you're reading from, no matter how you dissect it, we're being told that in a true relationship with Christ, we can find all we need to start living the dream. He's saying we have what we need. All the fullness has already been given. Already been given. Have you ever had someone say to you that you don't have what it takes? Whether it was about a position, you know, a job, or whether it was for a task, or it was just to be somebody they thought you should be. They said, you know, you just don't have what it takes. Ever had anybody tell you? You know, and that's an insult, isn't that? That hurts. Now, they could be right. They could be right that maybe we don't have what it takes. Maybe we lack some education or some experience or some skill to be whatever it is that they think that we should be, right? Or maybe what we want to be. But I want you to hear me. Let no one ever tell you you don't have what it takes to live the dream. That is, unless you're not in Christ. If you're trying to live the dream apart from him, you don't have what it takes. But if you're in him, guess what? You have what it takes. Because the fullness has been given already. That's good news. For Paul tells the Colossians that they had received that fullness when they were buried with him in baptism. That's what he says. That's what he says. He says up to that point they were dead in their sins. And in the uncircumcision of their sinful nature, their sinful flesh. Now, to me, this is a very interesting and intriguing imagery that he shares here. The Holy Spirit is declaring that in their baptisms, Jesus cut away not human skin, but a spiritual barrier that prevented them from living the way God wanted them to. It says he forgave them their sins, but he also took away an obstacle that kept them from living the fruitful life. Forgiveness. Praise God for it. But praise God that we've not just been forgiven for what we've done and been given forgiveness for what we may do, but we've been given power to live differently than we did. In the old covenant, circumcision was a sign of a commitment made to God. It was something, generally speaking, that a father did to his child that dedicated that child to God for all of their life. In the new covenant, baptism serves that purpose. Though it's not a father, an earthly father, now dedicating their child, it's someone dedicating themselves. It's someone standing up and saying, I commit my life to Christ. I surrender my life for a new one. That I do that. I realize that I am empty and powerless in my old self, my old life. I need power. I need forgiveness. I need strength. I need divine help. I need wisdom. I need revelation. I need it, and I want it, and I'm ready to receive it, and I surrender my life for that purpose. God, your purpose, to live your dream for me. So it's our Father in heaven through Jesus who removes the sinful nature from human hearts. In the process, he both dedicates us and equips us to live holy lives in his kingdom. It's as if he promotes us, putting his mark upon us, and promoting us to positions in his family and projecting us forward with new purpose and power. The passage actually says that now instead of being dead in our sins, we are now dead to our sin and alive in Christ. Prepared. Prepared to start living the dream. We're prepared. We're equipped. We have the fullness. They had the fullness. We have the fullness. So why weren't they living the dream? Why weren't more of them doing that? Why aren't more of us? I think for them, it's as if they didn't realize what had been done for them. Not fully, not completely. And I don't just mean in the fact that Jesus died on the cross that their sins might be forgiven, but that he rose on high and he gave them the Holy Spirit that they might have power for living. They didn't understand fully who they were now. So many of them thought they were still who they were instead of who they could be. That may be our problem too. Have you ever been given something but you didn't realize it? Probably if you thought enough about it, it has happened to all of us. At some point in time, we had something that was given to us and we didn't realize it or just we glossed over it. I don't know how many times people will hand me something and later I'll ask for it and they'll say, well, I gave you that already. And I'll say, you did? And maybe my mind was focused somewhere else or wasn't thinking, and I just don't realize it. But you know, then I check my pocket. Oh, you did. You did do that. My kids were actually looking for a check in the mail, believe it or not. For true, they were looking for a check in the mail. There was some kind of a settlement through the company that Levi used to work for over in Ohio, and they had been informed this check was coming, and they were going to use that because, hey, they're both kind of laid off right now. You know, they're going to use that for this trip to go to Florida over the spring break to kind of look at some job opportunities. Pray that they find one closer to home, okay? But, you know, I want what's best for them, okay? But nonetheless, they were looking for this financial ability, you know, to go. So they're watching for this check, and they're watching the mail every day. They're asking me, did you check the mail? Is the check there? No, there's nothing here for you. They were looking, thinking it might come Western Union, wait for somebody to knock on the door. They're looking for a little piece of paper that says, we were there, but you weren't. You know, something, come pick it up, something. Day after day after day after day. Was it coming? They just about given up on making this trip. They said, you know what? It's just not there. I went to pick up Abby from school one Friday, and we were going to go out visiting together. And I said, you know what? Since I'm picking her up at the bus stop, I'll check your old mailbox. Your old address. It wasn't there. But Levi went the next morning, and you know, and just happened to be going to take Weiss and thought he'd stop by, swing by there. And no, I take that back. That wasn't Saturday. It was on the Monday that he actually took Abby to school to the bus stop again. And he thought, well, I'll check it again. And it had been there since probably Friday after I'd checked it. It was in that mailbox. And they were about ready to give up by Monday. I guess we're not going, kids. We'll be telling the bad news on Sunday. I guess we're not going to be able to make the trip. We're not going because the check didn't come. It had arrived. They just didn't know it. Sometimes we can be like that. Sometimes we have been given something and not taken advantage of it. I'll just use for an illustration the communion, okay? Somebody, I happen to know who, Miss Desiree, thank you, Desiree, for doing that this morning, and I think your mom helped. That was their responsibility this month to fill the communion trays. They were filled. All the fullness was there. But that didn't mean we had been filled. Because, see, it's interesting. It says here, all the fullness has been given. But it's interesting, back in chapter 1, he prayed, right, for them to be filled. Well, wait a minute. If they had all the fullness, what did they need to be filled? Is the fullness available? Yes. Are we filled? It's up to us. Whether or not we drink freely and deeply and often from what God has given, The fullness is here, though, folks. The fullness has been given. And so many times we're looking for the power, for the strength, for the wisdom, for the knowledge to know what to do everywhere else but where it's been given. Where's the fullness? In Christ and in knowing Him. And knowing Him. Knowing Him. It'd be good for us to remember that. That we keep going to the source of all power and authority and wisdom, right? Christ. And find what we need, the filling that we need, from the fullness that's given for today. In a sense, we need to understand, as far as this living the dream thing is concerned, Christ has already nailed it. He has already nailed it for us. He'd lived the dream. And He shows us how to live the dream. And He tells us how to live the dream. That's what our text says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us, that stood opposed to us. He took it away. What away? What did He take away? What is it He has removed? What is it that He nailed for us? Because He nailed it, living the dream. What has He nailed now so that we can live the dream? What is it? What did He take away? He took away the sin, the weakness, the condemnation. It's taken away. It is gone. It's been nailed to the cross. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. It's been taken from us, but we've been given fullness in Him to live the life, to live the glorious life, to live the dream. Amen? That's what the Scripture's telling us here. I want you to get that. I want to get that. I want us to grasp that, get hold of that, understand that, walk in it, live in it every day. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Well, yeah, but I still think I'm lacking. No, He has given us everything. His divine power gives us everything we need for life and godliness. He's given us air. He's given us water. He's given us food. He's given us the things we need for physical sustenance, but He's given us all we need for godliness. What is it? To have the fullness of God in us. All. Verse 4 says, Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Hear that. Participate in the divine nature? Yeah. Having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Flesh, sinful nature, cut away. But He didn't leave us lacking. We've been filled. And there's fullness available for us to be filled again and again and again and again. So if His divine power has given us all we need for life and godliness, if that fullness truly has been given, if it is ours, what do you say we start living the dream? But remember, it's got to be in Christ. Because the power to do so is not found anywhere else. It's about knowing Him, surrendering to Him, finding the authority and power in Him to live the dream. We're going to sing about our great Savior. Invite you to stand and sing with us. If you have not yet accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, I pray that you would acknowledge Him today as that. As the Creator and Controller, as the head of the church, but let Him be Lord of your life and start living the dream. If we can assist you in that, let us know. will always sing.